Hello and welcome to a special Friday the 13th edition of Turn It Off with Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Hello.
this is an episode that's airing on Friday the 13th. I couldn't let that pass without us doing an episode of Turn It Off with Tracy. We're here to talk about the 2000 film The Others, starring Nicole Kidman, a ghost story. For a hot second, I briefly actually tried to get you, considered showing you a Friday the 13th movie for Friday the 13th, and then I realized that you would just hate every second of that. So I quickly gave up on that idea and decided to go for something more kind of like The Innocents, because I feel like of all the movies we've watched so far, that's the closest you've come to actually liking one of these movies. Is that accurate?
Hmm.
I mean, you thought it was a good movie.
It was very scary and very creepy.
Right.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just desperate to get you to say the word like, and that's just never going to happen. So anyway... we need to get the thing out of the way. I've heard from the various betting pools that have sprung up around the show. We need to get it out of the way first. How far you got into The Others? You got the whole way. You watched the whole movie.
I actually considered multiple times because I'm like, I don't want to have a heart attack tonight. You know,
any night, really.
But tonight especially.
Yeah, tonight especially.
No real reason.
Just so close to spring. We're almost there. But so what parts were really scary? I mean, there's only a couple of jumpy outy things in this whole movie.
It wasn't when they actually jumped out. It was the anticipation. And okay. I'm like, those three, they're ghosts. Those kids, they're ghosts.
Oh, yeah. By the way, everybody, we're going to be spoiling the heck out of this movie. So if you haven't seen it, and it does kind of have like a twist, although it says it right there on the friggin' DVD sleeve. Great twist. Peter Travers, Rolling Stone. Like, thanks, asshole. So in case you haven't seen The Others, and I recommend that you should because I think it's a really good movie, just be forewarned that we are going to kind of spoil the ending of it. So what parts were you a little uncertain about?
It was really the anticipation.
Mm-hmm. The scene with her up in the attic with all the stuff in
Mary
the sheets.
Joseph, yes.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
It's funny you say that because there's literally a statue of Mary in that scene.
There you go. Yeah, a lot of scene was, I think, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. They're going to jump out. I'm going to scream. This is going to.
But not much jumped out, though. There really was very little of that.
They didn't, but there were multiple times when I saw it coming.
The anticipation of it,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, exactly. So.
Did you, I don't want to say like, because I know that's not the right word. Did you, not enjoy? I can't think of another word that's ever going to get you to say yes to that. So, I mean, what did you think of the movie? Did you think it was a good movie?
I like the movie.
Look at.
Yeah, I'll be the one talking from now because Rob just passed out.
Elizabeth, I'm coming. I'm coming, Elizabeth. I don't even know who that is, but I'm coming.
What a great twist. It's from their point of view.
There you go.
It's about time somebody did that.
About the time that a movie was made from the ghost point of view.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, so the whole setup of this movie is, again, if you haven't seen it, we're about to spoil it. But
we just did, I think.
Well, yeah. The whole thing is that Nicole Kidman is the mom of these two little tots, these little toe-headed children. No, that's blonde if you're toe-headed.
Right, right.
These two little tots, and they live in this big old creepy mansion in England in 1945. And the father is away at war. He's not come back. Presumably he's dead because the war's over and they haven't heard anything. So she hires, and they explain that all the help suddenly left. Mm-hmm. They just disappeared. They basically
imagine that.
So she hires these three new people: an older lady, Fiona Flanagan, and then the older guy, and then the mute girl, which is that's not creepy. And they come, and they're going to be like the governess and the kind of like cook slash assistant, and then the gardener.
What's creepy about a mute girl?
Not,
that's a little insensitive.
No, I don't mean... She herself is creepy, the way she doesn't, like, make eye contact with anybody. That's what I mean. Not that she's just that she's mute, but, like...
But I took it like she had been traumatized at some
maybe
point.
Maybe so. Well, that's also creepy, because what's her name, Nicole Kidman, says, was she always mute? And the older lady's like, no.
Gotta go.
Okay, later. You're like, wait. You're leaving that hanging.
We know there's a story here.
And the whole thing is the kids can't deal with any light. So this movie is kind of a reversal in that the dark is the comforting thing. Mm-hmm. It's the light that's dangerous because the kids are exposed to any sort of light. They're going to, like, get hives and boils.
And photosensitivity. Right. Maybe
it's a real disease. I looked it up. It's a real thing.
It is, but maybe their particular type of photosensitivity is because they're ghosts.
Right.
And
how do you even live with that? Like, I read that some people really get it. How do you go through life?
I remember we watched a Extreme Makeover Home Edition where there's a girl who had photosensitivity and they put canopies all, they gave them an in-ground pool with canopies over it.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, because she gets very sick when she's exposed to light.
I guess that's weird. I mean, you need sunlight to not, like, get... You need, like, rickets, and you need, like, vitamin...
Milk and vitamin D.
Yeah, crazy. So anyway, the kids can't be exposed to any light, so the rooms are always dark, and the rooms are always locked, because they can't have the kids accidentally running from room to room. So then all this weird stuff starts happening, where they're hearing voices, and the kid is like, oh, I see a little boy named Victor, and the Nicole Kidman's like, no, you don't, stop lying. And it's this whole... And then you realize that the older lady seems to kind of... be harboring some secrets. We see that there's some graves buried out in the distance.
And they're hiding the graves.
But then they're hiding the graves, what that's about. And it just kind of moves along. And for a movie where not a whole lot happens. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I should mention, this movie was written and directed by Alejandro Amenábar, someone who I'm not really familiar with. He did another movie after this with... called The Sea Inside Us, which I'm not too familiar. This is the only movie of his I've seen. This was written and directed by him. I thought this was, like, based on a book. This seems like a very old-timey, classical story. I'm kind of impressed that he came up with this all on his own. Like, this is an original idea. So the whole twist of it is, really, that we find out that Nicole Kidman and the kids are not being haunted. Well, we should mention the father does return. He does come back from the war.
That he left for war.
He left for the war and never came. Well, no, we did mention that. I did say that. Okay. So the father, played by Christopher Eccleston, Doctor Who, okay. One of the Doctor Whos, comes back from the war, and he seems a little weird because you're like, he doesn't act like a guy that just came back. Like, he's laying in his bed. He wears the same outfit for, like, 2 days straight. Although then the only sort of kindness that he shows, he hugs the kids at one point, and he makes love to Nicole Kidman. Can't blame him there. He's like, I got to go. And so then we find out that, of course, Nicole Kidman and the kids are not being haunted. They are the ones doing the haunting. They are dead and they don't know it. And the people being haunted are other people who we only see at the end of the film having a seance.
They just bought the house.
Yeah. And this is like 1946. Could you see them wearing kind of like period clothes and...
And the car they drove away.
Right. They got the old-timey car. Mm-hmm. The only person I recognize from that group is the woman is Michelle Fairley. She was on Game of Thrones for a couple seasons. I recognize her. Until she met an untimely death in Game of Thrones. Like everybody does in Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. But like I didn't – when I saw this movie the first time, like around 2002, 2003, Game of Thrones wasn't a thing. So now if I had not seen this movie first, I would have known something was up because I recognized that name and I would have been like, well, she's not in the movie yet. Where is she coming? You know, where is she showing up?
Right.
But that's the twist, is that Nicole Kidman, we find out Nicole Kidman at some point went mad and smothered her children and then shot herself to death. And she has been haunting this house ever since. But the real haunting is she's the one doing the haunting. And it's the three housekeepers are not malevolent forces. They're actually there to kind of bring Nicole Kidman and the kids into a realization that they're ghosts. And that kind of gives this movie a little bit of a happy ending, is that Nicole Kidman and the kids at least realize where they are now. Mm-hmm. They're not tortured anymore.
The light
doesn't hurt them anymore. So you actually, I can't believe I'm doing all the talking. I shouldn't be, because you said you liked this movie. I have it recorded. You actually liked this movie.
Mm-hmm.
What did you like about it?
I liked that it was from the ghost's point of view. I thought that's a very, like, empathetic viewpoint that you know, what is it like from their point of view? And of course they see these people as intruders. And of course they think that, you know, these people that they're seeing off and on are invading their space. And, you know, I saw them. You couldn't have seen them. I did. You know, like, very much a, you know, reversed kind of.
Yeah, it's a neat twist.
Yeah.
It is a neat twist. I remember when I saw this the first time, I rented it. I didn't know there was a twist thing. I just watched it. And I was like, oh, wow, cool. Like, I was like, that's me being a really high-minded film criticism there. Hey, oh, wow, cool. Oh, wow, cool, yeah. But no, I remember just thinking that was a nice twist, mm-hmm. you know, and it really doesn't have any violence in it. I'm not even sure. I think this movie's rated R just for the intensity.
Although she did try to strangle her daughter.
There is that scene where that's a weird little thing that's unexplained, where the daughter looks like an old lady for some reason.
Yeah, that's when she
Channels the seance lady channels the daughter. Yeah. The medium. Yeah, the lady with the no eyes, the no pupils in her eyes. So all right, there's that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, there's no foul language, there's no explicit violence in it. So it really is just rated, I think, R for the intensity of it. So mm-hmm. What did you think of Nicole Kidman?
Great performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she seemed like so uptight and...
They give her the worst shoes in the world. She wears these clodhoppers through the whole thing.
Well, it was the 40s.
Well, they had nice shoes in the
40s. Like a mile in every direction.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. I loved her hair, too.
she's got a very expressive face. Like, when she's into that room looking at all the sheets, and her eyes are, like, as wide as saucers. Like, she looks really like, whoa, oh, my God, what's going... You know, she's good, yeah. I mean, she really has to... I don't want to say carry the movie because it's not like the other actors aren't in it, but she's the only person you really recognize, and she's in virtually every scene.
She really does, yeah. She drives the whole thing.
Yeah. And you have some sense of, I mean, she's white as a ghost, too. I mean, that's her natural complexion, right? So it helps. So. And it's interesting, you know, again, it's about all how you shoot these things. Like, she's a very beautiful woman. She's like one of the most beautiful women in the world. She's got all these, she does all these advertisements for, like, makeup and stuff like that. And yet, it's a very desexualized look. Like, at no point does she ever, even when she undresses at one point and she's, like, in her nightgown, it's kind of just very, you know, matter of fact. It's not at all remotely sexualized. And I think that, obviously, that's on purpose because you're not trying to make her an object of titillation. She's really the sort of pity, and you're sort of scared a little because you're, like, she seems a little touched. Because, I mean, she's slowly going mad. She's hearing all these voices in the closets and stuff. And she locks the piano down. And then she turns around and the thing's lifted. And, like, what's going on there? And all that stuff. So, I can't believe you liked this movie.
I did.
You genuinely liked it. Wow. All right. You heard it here, folks, everybody.
I was definitely scared many times. I thought about stopping or turning it off.
I had the controller in my lap the whole time.
And, that was a really good twist. I'm glad I stuck it out.
Yes, me too. All right. I can't. Wow. Look at this. It was. I'm so glad I didn't show you Friday the 13th then.
See that?
Would have been awful. Yeah. Like I said, this is the closest to The Innocence that I could think of in a modern horror film. Because Nicole Kidman kind of has a Deborah Carr energy, I would say. I think they have some similarities. And there's two children. Mm-hmm. And there's a weird relationship. And a big creepy house. And
big creepy house.
There's people in dark suits kind of lumbering outside through the windows. When the three of them are all together, when the help are walk in unison, to me, they're extra creepy.
Yes. Because it's like zombies.
They just walk in this kind of mindless.
Code for zombie. When people kind of just walk straight, blind.
Mm-hmm.
As a group, they're all just moving very slowly.
I haven't had it in a long time, but for many years I had a nightmare of two people walking like that, very slowly but determinedly after me. Ooh. In my old neighborhood in Philadelphia.
Ooh.
We lived right around the corner. You walked down our street in Philly, and you made a right turn, and then you went down a block. There was a mailbox. Mm-hmm. And at one point I mailed something, and these two adults that I didn't recognize were walking down the street, and it felt like they were walking towards me. They were probably just walking in my direction. But it scared me for some reason, and I ran down the end of the block, and I have had a nightmare of those two walking after me for many years afterwards. I haven't had it for...
You never told me that.
I haven't had it in a long time.
Okay.
But for many years, long after we left Philadelphia and moved into Jersey, I still had that dream.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you liked it. I'm very happy with myself, frankly. You liked it. That's very good. So, do you have anything else you want to say about the others? Like, in the future, do we want to stick to, like, the ghost story movies? Is that possibly more? It seems more your speed.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
You know, it has to be a very controlled sort of.
Yes, this is a very controlled. There's not a lot of. It's not creepy things or, like, bloody hands jumping out or anything like that. It's very I mean, part of it is the fashion. I mean, like, everybody's kind of, it's very repressed. Everybody's very, mm-hmm. I mean, the Finola Flanagan, the way she talks is, like, very, it's, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, ma'am. Everything's very calm and controlled as mm-hmm. opposed, there's nobody, there's really very little screaming even. Uh-huh. The kids scream a little bit, but.
And the mom screams a little bit.
The mom screams a little bit.
Finola Flanagan never mm-hmm. screams.
No, she's very calm.
She's not like that.
Yep. Well, good. I can't believe it. We're 18 episodes in. We finally found something you like.
See that?
Wow. We're growing.
And they said it couldn't happen.
You said it could. Well, you said it couldn't happen, but now we're here. So, well, excellent. Well, that's a perfect way to celebrate. Friday the 13th is with a scary movie. We have another Friday the 13th coming up in July, so we'll...
Oh, joyous.
Yes. Oh, Nancy, now, come on. Okay. So, okay, before we sign off, I do want to do a little bit of listener feedback because you don't believe that you have fans, and you do. So I've decided I'm going to start reading some of the feedback we get from previous episodes. We're just going to go one episode back. We're just going to read a couple things here, okay? So I'm going to let you know as it goes on. These were comments for episode 17, which was It Follows, which, mm-hmm. of course, It Follows.
Remember.
Follows, see? It Follows. Creepy.
I remember.
And which you barely got through. So, Martin Gray.
I actually didn't get through, did I?
No, not at all. Yeah. I meant to say you hardly got through because it was like 27 minutes in. So anyway, Martin Gray, mm-hmm. your friend Martin Gray, says, I liked this film too. It certainly had the uncanny quality I want in a supernatural drama. It might make a fun double bill with that other curse flick, Drag Me to Hell. And he follows that up with, Happy Anniversary! Drag Me to Hell is one of these movies that I every so often think of showing you because mm-hmm. I think it's a really great horror movie with one of the greatest endings I've ever seen in a horror movie. But I don't know. So, but it's always
to be seen.
It's always on the short list. I have a rotating group of short of a short.
Did you see what I said? Remains to be seen. Huh?
Get remains. Got it. There we go.
No. To be seen.
To be seen. Okay. Oh, it's a double one. Dr. Ange mm-hmm. says, I like this movie a lot. I am pretty sure that the rule is if it kills the person you had sex with, then it stalked you again as the next link in the promiscuity chain. Thus, it truly follows. Therefore, the only way to keep it from you ultimately is to continue sleeping with people, putting bodies between you, but it is basically dooming your partners. I don't think I've really got that part of it, that you were like trying to like put more and more people between you and it. I don't think I ever figured that out.
Having not seen the entire thing, you only seen
27 minutes of the film. You really missed a lot of some of the salient points. The saddest scene for me is when the main character, fearing her own death, forlornly swims out to a rowboat to have sex with a nameless guy. It's a real gut punch. It's true. It's a real tough scene. On a lighter note, when I first watched this, I said to myself, well, the Ange in high school really would not have to have worried about this. He couldn't get any play. So. Chris Franklin, of course, my partner from Superman Movie Minute, mm-hmm. says, I heard about this, but I had no idea about the premise. Very interesting and original. And that is incredibly hard to come by nowadays in any kind of film. I'll have to check it out. I think for your anniversary, she would have let Tracy call you by your nickname on air. Chris, I have mentioned Chris... Tracy calls me by my nickname every episode, but I edit it out. And that is going to continue. So that's it.
Don't you like your nickname?
I love my nickname, but it is between you and I, not between me and my podcasting audience. So that's just the way it is. I can go. Yeah, okay. Fine.
I'm just saying.
Just saying. David Ace Gutierrez, you know David, of course. Mm-hmm. He says, this has proven to be a fascinating experiment and a nice glimpse into Rob eventually being kicked out of his home. Brian Linton follows up with, Brian Linton was the one whose daughter was the big MASH fan.
Oh, yes, okay.
He says, I begin to suspect that Rob's relationship mantra is that which does not kill us makes us stronger. Paul Hicks from Australia says, not surprised at the short showing. This one is intense, very well crafted, and up there with Get Out for innovation. That is true. But mm-hmm. you did get all the way through on that one. Brian Linton.
Barely. That was a thread.
Tough one. Brian Linton follows up again. He says, Tracy is a braver person than I. I wouldn't watch this film in a million years, but it sounds like a creative premise for a horror movie. I'm really tempted to check out Mitchell's other movies. The upcoming mystery you mentioned sounds like it will be much more my speed. Thanks for another great episode. Thank you, Brian. Paul Hicks comes back and suggests Tremors, which is a horror monster movie with Kevin Bacon. That actually is a pretty good suggestion. I know, the look on your surprise on your face. That's actually a really fun movie. It's not very scary, but it's fun. So maybe that actually would be consideration. It's very funny. It's got a lot of good gags in it. Yeah. And finally, Ward Hiltari says, yeah, but did Tracy get her ice cream?
I'm off the ice cream.
You're off the ice cream now. Yeah. Tracy has moved off ice cream for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. So, no, you didn't get your ice cream. But it's not because I denied it to you.
No, you
denied
deny
it yourself.
It.
So, no. Yeah, you've been eating cereal lately.
I've been healthy.
You've been very good. Been very good. We replaced butter with the coconut.
Healthier.
Yeah. We replaced butter with the coconut oil. We're doing okay. All right. So.
Soy milk.
Yeah. Doing better.
Love a cow.
So, okay. Well, that's your feedback for just one episode. So, seeing you've got fans, babe. I know you don't believe it.
Thank you. You're all very kind.
Yes. People love the show. They love hearing from you. They're tired of hearing from me, but they love hearing from you.
So,
there you go. The woman, a few words. So, anyway, the others, you liked it. I feel so validated that I found a movie you liked. I have some other ones on tap.
I can hardly wait.
I know you really can wait. You really, really can. So anyway, that's going to do it. Happy Friday the 13th, everybody. That's it. The others, I know if you haven't seen it, we spoiled it for you, but I still think it's really worth watching anyway because it's just very well acted, very well.
You'll have to post it with a spoiler alert.
Yes, very well put together. Again, for a movie where not a lot happens, it always holds your interest through the whole thing. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
That's really hard to do.
Yeah.
So. Cool. Well, I'm going to sleep the sleep of the victorious tonight. I know that. And
good for you.
Maybe I'll have that dream again where the people are chasing after me.
Oh, sweet.
So, anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Tracy, thank you so much for watching The Others with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for showing me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Ending everything with a question. So, anyway, that's going to do it for Turn It Off with Tracy. Tracy, once again, love you so much, babe.
Love you.
And we will see everybody later.
See what I did there?
It's coming out anyway, so.
So your bye goes with it.
I'll say it again. Bye.
Bye.
As well.